Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Rima Katz. Check fraud linked to mail theft is more prevalent than ever before, surging across the U.S. In fact, the USPS recently issued a warning to be careful when mailing checks, as 305 of its mail carriers were robbed in the first half of the 2023 fiscal year. To delve into the rise of check and ACH fraud, I'm joined by Steve Bartel, Senior Director of Solutions Consulting at Q2, and Brian Riley, Co-Head of Payments at Javelin Strategy and Research. They're also going to speak to the increase in positive pay adoption, a method that's used by most organizations to guard against check and ACH fraud. Steve and Brian, thank you so much for joining us today. To start us off, we've seen a significant increase in check and ACH fraud. Steve, can you speak to what's driving this?
Sure. And let me just start off with, I guess, a couple of thoughts and some statistics. I think we all know that the checks being processed by the Fed have dropped dramatically over the last decade, right? But what's interesting is that the average dollar amount of checks has actually gone up over that same time frame. I've been tracking check and ACH fraud price since 2005 when I first got into this side of the business. And if we look at what has been transpired really even pre-COVID, we see check fraud kind of go up and down depending on what's been going in the market, right? So like during COVID in the early days, we saw debit card and credit card fraud bounce up. We saw when the government stimulus programs were rolled out, ACH fraud really, really grow high and check kind of leveled off or maybe even gone down a bit. But in 2021, we just saw just a huge hockey stick growth in check fraud. And so Q2's Centrix Positive Pay system has about 600 banks across the country using that product. In 2021, we stopped and identified about $350 million in check and ACH fraud. In 22, it was more than double. It was like $720 million. I looked at the first quarter numbers of this year. It was closer to $200 million in the first quarter. So we're certainly still on that increasing track of fraud. So specifically to your question, you know, what's driving this? Well, I think it's the kind of the age-old adage of what is the least path of resistance, right? And so before we had chips in all of our debit and credit cards, card fraud was kind of a big deal, right? We all kind of remember that. When ACH payments were going out for the government stimulus program, the fraudsters went after that. And now that we're kind of getting to the end of that tail, checks are back into focus. And so, you know, the stories that I'm hearing from my customers and also from just folks that I visit with when I go to conferences as trade shows is, you know, checks are getting stolen out of mailboxes. We've all heard about, you know, the Amazon packages getting stolen off our porches during the holidays. Folks are driving around neighborhoods and grabbing mail out of mailboxes. I actually had one client of mine in Oklahoma that said they actually had an entire mail truck stolen. They found it in an abandoned warehouse with mail just scattered all over the place. And of course, all of the checks were no longer to be found in that mail. You hear things about, you know, mailbox clusters getting broken into or those arrow keys getting stolen. And really what's going on, at least what I'm seeing in my space, is that the payee names on those documents are getting washed and modified. And that's driving a lot of the check fraud as well.
You see, what you say makes a lot of sense. You know, I think the death of the check is greatly exaggerated. Checks will be around, just like cash will be around, for many, many years to come. And to show you how relevant it is, you know, start looking at things like faster payments. So now clearances are starting to go in through so quickly on checks, whether they're ACHs or physical checks. Certainly that ride comes into play. And that's really one of the areas that attracts fraudsters. You know, here's new activity. There's lots going on in the space, and everybody's looking at things like faster payments. But it's those little nooks and crannies that really can be a risk area for people with financial institutions.
Agreed.
There's also been an increase in positive pay adoption to help prevent fraud associated with checks and ECH payments. Steve, can you speak a bit more to this? What are some benefits of positive pay?
Yeah, for sure. So first of all, you know, if you take a look at the AFP payments fraud survey, either from, you know, 23 or even years previous, we know that positive pay is the most popular way to stop check fraud. And it's a good way to keep an eye on your, not only your checks, but also your ACH activity. I think their stat showed that north of 90% of organizations actually use positive pay to help guard against that fraud. I think the reason why is that business customers are the closest to those transactions, right? So they have insight into the checks that they wrote. They have insight into what ACH payments or debits should be posted to their accounts. And positive pay is a very good solution to help you do that. Whether it's looking at checks, whether it's looking at ACH activity, or even if it's just account reconciliation. I mean, you talk to you know, either Notch or the payment associations. One of the best ways to find fraud on your account is to reconcile your account every day. And so One of the features that we have in our positive pay system is the ability for corporates to actually go through and do daily account reconciliation. I think other thing that's very interesting about positive pay systems in general is that it takes the financial institution's back office kind of out of the entire process, so to speak. So, and what I mean by that is that when you can push those decisions and that research down to the individual corporate or business entities, it's a lot easier for banks and credit unions, right, to let those folks do that again, because they are much closer to their own payment activity.
You know, we spoke about the positive pay thing when we first met, and I mentioned that I got a recent check from an insurance company for a car issue that we had, drawn by a major insurance company, drawn on a top bank. And I remote deposit captured the deposit on it, left it on my desk because I usually like to wait for these to clear before I shred them. But if I was out of town, when my wife was in my office just poking around, she probably would have deposited the check. And this is an area where positive pay would have caught it. So it's not just intentional fraud, but it's also things that can happen with, you know, having a miscommunication on should that check go in or not, or has it already been deposited?
Yeah, it's a fantastic example, right? And that's just a great example of how it might not be malicious. It's certainly not fraudulent. It was just an error, but it protected, probably saved a lot of people a lot of work, right? If both of you would have deposited that check, there would have been a fair amount of work that would have had to been done. If they would have had positive pay in that case, the insurance company would have had that item come through and it would have said paid not issued. They could have returned it and the research been done and everybody would have been left whole.
You've both touched upon the importance of positive pay and the opportunity that it presents for businesses, particularly in regards to fraud management. Delving a bit deeper into the topic, Steve, how can businesses use fraud management as a revenue generator and really stand out from their peers? What are some best practices you can share?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I have these conversations a lot. So instead of just thinking of positive pay as an expense center, I always try to illustrate with my banking and credit union customers why positive pay can both be a revenue generator and really another way to make their business customers more sticky to them. And part of this is encouraging them to look at this customer bank credit union relationship is really just a partnership to fight fraud. Now, specifically on the revenue front, one of the typical questions I get is, hey, Steve, how much should I charge? And really, charges are just going to vary based upon the part of the country that you're in and what metropolitan areas you may be near. Somebody that's operating out of a larger city with national and super regional banks, those competitive prices, they're going to be able to price more because likely those larger entities are charging more. I'm not sure you're going to enjoy that same story in terms of being able to charge higher amounts for a smaller town in rural Nebraska, for example. But what I also find interesting is that sometimes people think about this as just a flat fee that we're charging clients. But let's also remember that account analysis is a great way to run those business clients through and get some earnings credits rates back, perhaps, on that activity. The other thing that I found more recently is that financial institutions are actually requiring their business clients to adopt positive pay, especially if they've had fraud on their account. They're actually asking them to go on positive pay, pay for it, and if they don't want to do that, then to sign a waiver that, in fact, a fraud does occur, that the bank's not going to be held responsible for it.
And it's more than just money here, too. You know, when you get into where the Federal Reserve looks at for safety and soundness in general, there's seven main characteristics, and one of them is reputational risk. And you don't want to be out on a perch by yourself and having to contend with those problems.
Absolutely.
As we come to an end, I'd like to get some final thoughts from you both. Steve, starting with you, what can financial institutions do to protect their customers?
Yeah, I think first it starts with educating our customers, right, of the risk. For years, we've educated account holders on, you know, not to click on hyperlinks and emails, right? And now we know that it extends to, you know, our text messaging, that, you know, we get junk emails or junk text messages asking us to click on links. So it's historically been like this cybersecurity training. The same is true with the benefits of positive pay. It has to start with educating our small business, our mom and pop type of shops and stores. Q2 is very heavily involved in helping financial institutions attract those small to medium sized businesses. And we talk about how we can have this discussion on fraud with those folks. Because a lot of times, like, the mom and pop shops don't really understand, like, the timelines that are under And a lot of times they may not even understand the risk, right? We know that consumers, as consumer account holders, we're under very different requirements to notify our financial institutions of potential fraud. It's just not the same timelines when it comes to non-consumer types of accounts. So just having that conversation is a great, great start. And then I think there's some other like really easy things that we all can do. You know, we recommend that folks write checks, if they're handwriting the checks, using a gel pen instead of a ballpoint pen. Nail polish remover does a great job on removing ballpoint pen ink. And then the fraudster can, you know, insert their own payee name. We also talk about folks about, you know, the mailbox issues that I mentioned earlier. Go drop the mail off at the post office, right? And even more recently, I heard a story about these fake blue United States Post Office boxes showing up in neighborhoods, right? I don't know about your guys' part of the world, but in Lincoln, Nebraska, where I'm at, those blue boxes are actually disappearing, right? The Postal Service is actually pulling them off the streets. So maybe dropping your checks off into a new blue mailbox, maybe not the best idea. And then the last thing I would mention is just the partnership discussion again. We really want our financial institutions to talk with their customers that this is a partnership and they're really doing everything they can to protect their business client needs. And it's pretty easy to go out and quickly Google, you know, your community area and look for stories on, you know, fraud, whether it be elder fraud, abuse, wire fraud, certainly check and ACH fraud stories are out there as well.
I think Steve framed it really well. And the bottom line to me is that checks are not going out of business at all. It's an instrument that's going to be around for a long time. There's a lot going on in the rest of the ecosystem for payments, but certainly checks need attention and they need really tools that are current and able to react to the changing environment.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, real-time payments is pretty exciting, right? I mean, Q2's got their own initiative with that, as do a lot of other folks. But I agree completely that business checks are not going to be going away certainly in the near term.
Steve and Brian, thanks again for sharing such great insights. Checks are no doubt still a key form of payment for businesses and consumers, and FIs need to make sure they have the appropriate tools on hand to address the current challenges many are facing.